Thank you again, worship team, for your great leadership and the guys on the equipment, videographers. Let's give a hand to the Lord as we... Thank you. The Word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and spirit, joint and marrow, and discerning the intents of the heart, and all are open and laid bare before him with whom we have to contend. That is Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12. Let's appreciate again the singing and the worship this morning. We bless the Lord. We thank God for those who are following the service online. We really appreciate all of you. God bless you wherever you are. And those who are in the pavilion and all the other overflow spaces, also God bless you. Our reading of scripture is from Genesis chapter 33. Pastor Ambrose covered 32 of Genesis and several other texts in the book of Genesis last Sunday. I pick it from there, Genesis chapter 33. And this passage is about Jacob and Esau. They are coming together, reconciliation. Jacob looked up, and I'm reading from verse 1 to 10. Jacob looked up, and there was Esau coming with his 400 men. So he divided the children among Leah, Rachel, and the two female servants. He put the female servants and their children in front, Leah and her children next, and Rachel and Joseph in the rear. He didn't know how it was going to turn out, so he was taking precaution, meeting his brother Esau. He himself went on ahead and bowed down to the ground 7 times. As he approached his brother. And I thank God for the leadership Jacob provides right there. He's the one right at the front, and he's honoring his brother. But Esau ran to meet Jacob and embraced him. He threw his arms, this is a bear hug, you know. He threw his arms around his neck and kissed him, and they wept. Then Esau looked up and saw the women and children. "Who are these with you?" he asked. Jacob answered, "They are the children God has graciously given your servant." Then the female servants and their children approached and bowed down. Next, Leah and her children came and bowed down. Last of all came Joseph and Rachel, and they too bowed. Esau asked, "What's the meaning of all these flocks and herds I met?" "To find favor in your eyes, my lord," he said. But Esau said, "I already have plenty, my brother. Keep what you have for yourself." "No, please," said Jacob. "If I have found favor in your eyes, accept this gift from me. For to see your face is like seeing the face of God, now that you have received me favorably." Let's pray. Almighty God, I thank you that we can open the scriptures in this place. And I thank you, Lord, that your spirit is present even as we open the scriptures. My God, I pray for inspiration as I break the bread, and also pray that you would open our hearts like we have sung, and that this word would find a place in our hearts and also in our lives. So, my God, speak to us today. In Jesus' name we pray, and we all say, Amen. We may have our seats. God is good, and all the time. The title of the message is Empowered Thinking, Delivering Kingdom Results. As you know, our focus this month is empowered thought, activated ideas. And Pastor Ambrose got us started the last 2 Sundays. And I thank God for what the Lord has revealed to us since we started. If you're here for the first time, this is the year of the Lord's empowered world changers. And every month, in understanding that overall theme, we walk like step by step, we focus on a particular area, and this month is empowered thought. So the title is Empowered Thinking, Delivering Kingdom Results. And I just read from Genesis 33, verse 1 to 10, and there's another text, Mark chapter 5, verse 24 to verse 34, that I'll be making reference to as I go along. Let me say that reconciliation is a very important kingdom agenda. And if there is a place God has invested his premium investment, it is in the area of reconciliation. It has been and it was and it is God's intended intention that man be reconciled to him. And therefore, God took the initial steps of reconciliation and he sent his only begotten son, his name is Jesus Christ, who came, became a human being. He dwelt among us. And then he was put on the cross. He died. He was buried. And on the third day, he rose from the dead. And Jesus is alive. And so God put a premium investment on this reconciliation. God wants us reconciled. It's important that we are reconciled first with ourselves, you know, then reconciled with God and reconciled with others. You can never know true peace until you attain reconciliation. And you know, if you're not reconciled with yourself, you remain restless. But we need to come to a place where you go to a mirror and you say, what I'm seeing here, I like it, I appreciate it. And Pastor Ambrose has been sharing with us the issue of identity, you know, and knowing who we are. And that is a very important beginning in terms of reconciliation. If you are not personally reconciled as an individual, it is not possible for somebody else to do it for you. And so it's very, very important, all circumstances considered, that we're able to come before a mirror and say, I thank God for what I see. And many people who are struggling even with other reconciliations, it is because they have, first of all, not sorted themselves out. And so they are projecting. And they are passing on a war that does not belong to the rest. So it's just coming from inside. Self-reconciliation. But also reconciliation with God. God and man. And if you're not reconciled with God, then also there is a sense of debt and a sense of restlessness and some unease that you'll walk with in terms of your life. And therefore, whether you do a holiday or you fly in the best planes, stay in the best houses, if you're not reconciled, this kind of restlessness follows you everywhere. With God, very important, but also reconciliation with others. And that is why we should also invest in ensuring that with the other person or the other persons within family, at the workplace, market areas, or anywhere else, that we are reconciled. As much as we can, this is an effort we should be making. And so reconciliation is a premium agenda of the kingdom, and empowered thinkers are the ones who are able to actually engage a reconciliation result. And that's why I've said empowered thinking, delivering kingdom results. The text I just read in Genesis chapter 33 has one important end picture, and this is in verse 4. But Esau ran to meet Jacob. This is the end picture. It's a picture of reconciliation. It's a comedy. It's not a tragedy. It's a very nice end to a rather, you know, turbulent story. But Esau ran to meet Jacob, and Esau embraced him. He threw his arms around his neck and kissed him, and they wept. The end story of what I'm sharing today, that picture encapsulates it. It's just right there. And you see Esau running. The gap between them is closing, and it goes on closing and closing and closing. And eventually they meet, and they are there, and there's a bear hug, and then, of course, there's that kiss. For example, as I said in the first service, it's not that other kiss. I'm talking about a holy kiss. Hallelujah. Two brothers. And Esau, they are twins. Esau was the first, Jacob was the second, and there's a bear hug, and then there's a kiss, and then there are tears. So there is a race of reconciliation. There is a bear hug of reconciliation. There is a holy kiss of reconciliation, and there are the tears of reconciliation. And my prayer, and this is also God's prayer, is that in our homes and also everywhere where we're involved, reconciliation actually happens. My prayer and our prayer is that even in Kenya, there is reconciliation. Hallelujah. And across Africa, there is reconciliation. Reconciliation is possible regardless of whatever that was between us. Reconciliation is possible. And so when we are not reconciled, we are restless. And that is what you find about Jacob. He tried, you know, he got home and he was exported through the advice of his mother, Rebecca, to go to the family line of Abraham's brother. Because Isaac comes down from Abraham, Abraham had a brother called Nahor. Now, Nahor gave birth to Blamuel. Blamuel produces Rebekah and Laban. And then the story goes on. And so from the home of the brother of Abraham, Nahor, comes down Rebekah, who gets married to Isaac, who is a son to Abraham. And therefore, Isaac marries a niece. And out of them comes out Jacob. And out of them also come Esau. These were twins. And you know, Jacob managed to get the blessing of Esau and also the birthright of Esau. Now, when things got really complicated, Rebekah advises his son to go to a safe space, somewhere like a space of refuge, and go there for a period of time. And Jacob takes off, and he's gone for 20 years before you find Genesis chapter 33. And he has an amazing experience there because, you know, for 14 years, he works, he gets two wives out of that kind of labor. And then for another 6 years, he's working for Laban, and he's out for quite a while. But during his sojourn out there, Jacob was never restful. And this is because there was something not reconciled. He never really had known rest. It was such a complicated stay. And let me say, no matter what you try, if you're not reconciled, that restlessness follows you everywhere that you go. And he was there. He succeeded in other ways. But in this one aspect of peace and rest, all he experienced was what is called Pax Romana. It is a false kind of peace. Somebody looks okay from the outside, but things are churning from within. They look okay on the outside, but their mind and the things, the emotions and their spirit is just struggling. And some people tend to run away and run instead of coming and coming. What God wants is a turnaround for reconciliation, because if you are in the diaspora and you left Kenya because there was a problem and you are not reconciled and you thought maybe by going very, very far, I have run away from this matter or this issue, we better learn from Jacob and Esau today that Jacob was far, was away 20 years, never really settled until he had to reconcile this matter with his brother. And so Genesis chapter 33 is about Jacob coming back. Let me say that relationships fall at the highest level of the hierarchy of issues that need to be considered, and that relationships are primary to our health. And that is why relationships, we need to invest in relationships. And Jacob remembers that there is this one relationship that I must attend to and I must invest in. And he comes back home. It's a very, very interesting homecoming, because you can see, I just read the end result. There is a bear hug. And let me say, for everyone pursuing Jacobic reconciliation, there is a bear hug awaiting you. There is a kiss awaiting you. There are tears of joy that are awaiting such families when those moments do come. And there is healing, unction that flows within those settings. But somebody has to take, to do certain things. What kind of thinking eventually delivers this kind of reconciliation? I suggest to us it is bold thinking. It has to be thinking that transcends fear. It's thinking that transcends fear. We must be able to address our fears, confront our fears, but we must be bold enough to rise above those fears and actually transcend them. Bold thinking. This is the kind of thinking that is confident. It is willing to take a risk. It is daring. It is courageous. It entertains the idea that the impossible is possible. And so this kind of thinking says there is nothing that is impossible. I know relational issues are among the most complex, most difficult. Somebody can sit in an organization as a CEO and command a very large portfolio and be very, very excellent in what they do. But when it comes to relationships, that is where some of the biggest challenges actually occur. And so it needs bold thinking. It is thinking that is bigger than the fear, and it is thinking that is able to transcend the mountain of fear. Let me tell you, Jacob was afraid. When you read Genesis chapter 27, verse 41 to 43, we see it there. Genesis 27, verse 41 to verse 43, the Bible says, Esau held a grudge against Jacob because of the blessing his father had given him. He said to himself, "The days of mourning for my father are near. Then I will kill my brother Jacob." When Rebekah was told what her older son Esau had said, she sent for her younger son, Jacob, and said to him, "Your brother Esau is planning to avenge himself by killing you. Now then, my son, do what I say. Flee at once to my brother Laban in Haran." Bold thinking prefers relationships, you know, above real estate. And Jesus actually said, "What does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? What does it profit a man or a woman if they gain everything, but they really lose the relationships that are so critical and so important that God needs that they invest in?" Bold thinking goes beyond looking the here and now and look at that relationship, and therefore is able to transcend fear. Jacob was afraid. I can tell you, he ran because of fear, and he was out there because he was afraid. There's a very interesting scripture in Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5, verse 23. I just want to read, just to show the primacy of relationships and reconciliation and why it is beautiful that Jacob finds Esau. The Bible says the following in verse 23. "Therefore, if you're offering your gift at the altar, and there remember that your brother or sister has something against you, leave your gift there in front of the altar. First go and be reconciled to them, then come and offer your gift. Settle matters quickly with your adversary who is taking you to court." And we would have less court cases if we followed this instruction. "Do it while you're still together on the way, or your adversary may hand you over to the judge, and the judge may hand you over to the officer, and you may be thrown into prison." So the fear locked him for a long time, but eventually this bold thinking prevailed over that fear. And Jacob determined that I am going back home and I am going to reconcile with my brother. Of course, in the journey back home, there's a blessing he receives. Pastor Ambrose shared last Sunday, Genesis 32 verse 26, where he wrestles with this man, an angel, and he says, "Unless you bless me," Genesis chapter 32 and verse 26, "unless you bless me, I'm not letting you go." And you know, there was that wrestling until divine blessings come into his system. And this guy, his name is changed. His destiny is changed. Everything is changed. There's a big transaction right there. Now he's coming to meet his brother. And I tell you, he made a decision. And this was a bold thought in him. I will be reconciled to my brother. Let me say, a reconciliation begins with thinking. And it begins with an idea that I need to do this. And that is where it all started. And it's called bold thinking. Bold thinking. I shared in the first service how I ended up reconciling with my father. It's a story I've shared here before. Interesting enough, Pastor Ambrose and I have very many similar stories. And I was there when my father cut my mother's finger, and I was small, I was young, and my mother remained with just a small part of a finger. The blood that came out, because I was there, I saw it, and it was coming like a tap. You know, the blood that was coming there, out of there, and I looked at my father. I was so helpless. I couldn't do a thing, and therefore, as a young son, anger, something was deposited in me. And from there, we had a big difference. I even went off for about 7 years. I mean, I was angry, I was bitter, and my dream was one day to kill my father. That was my dream, that was an aspiration I had. I thank God I never did it. Hallelujah. The thing that turned the tide around is when this thought, you know, the bold thought, that reconciliation with my father is possible. And I entertained the thought. And then later, even as I share, there's a whole thing of activation. I had to do some action. But to cut the whole story short, you know, eventually there was reconciliation. I'm telling you, somebody has to take that step. And then when I did that, it went across everybody else. Our home has 13. We are 13 children from the same father and mother. And you can imagine the chaos and the brokenness inside that home. But because one son, one child of that home begins something beautiful in the home, somehow it kind of pervaded the whole place. And I thank God. Some of us who never had a bear hug, you know, I shared in the first service, a hug from my father the first time was during that time of reconciliation, but I'll say that a little more towards the end as I do my point number three. But all I'm saying is this, in terms of the Jacobic action of reconciliation, it requires that kind of bold thinking whereby the fears are overcome. And you wonder, how will it be? Will they respond? I'm the offended. What does this mean? And there are all kinds of fears that show up. 2 Timothy 1:7 says, God has not given us as a spirit of fear, but of love, of power, love, and a sound mind. It's there on the screen. And so we can celebrate the fact that God has given us courage. This courage needs to be used. And the power of reconciliation is available in the hands of God. We need to allow ourselves to become channels so that then this kingdom kind of reconciliation can actually happen. And it is possible to reach any kind of person. But secondly, aligned thinking, not just bold thinking. And this one transcends error, transcending error, aligned thinking. We need to wear the mind of God. Isaiah 55, verse 8 and 9 says the following concerning the thoughts of God and our thoughts. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. That's what God is saying. His ways and his thoughts are way above ours. We need to align our thinking with the thinking of God. And how do you do it? Through the word of God. In Joshua chapter 1, verse 7 and verse 8, this is what the Bible says concerning aligning our thinking to God's thinking. Keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. So when we meditate on the word of God day and night, we receive the thinking of God, and also we get to know the ways of God. We are removed from the error path where it says, you do this to me, I will do the same to you, which is erroneous thinking, which also leads to kind of erroneous actions. And some of the problems we are having of revenge and all kinds of things that are happening within families today is because of the failure to align with what God is saying. And so God has given us his word so that we may meditate on it and that we may consider his promise and also his word. And as we do so, then we align our thinking with his thinking. In Genesis 28, And this is how Jacob also gets to the place of reconciliation. From verse 10 to verse 22, Jacob must have been a guy who reflected on the covenant, on the promise of God, on the word of God, and he knew very well, I need to go back and get reconciled to my brother. Now from verse 10, the Bible says, Jacob left Beersheba and set out for Haran. When he reached a certain place, he stopped for the night because the sun had set. Taking one of the stones there, he put it under his head and lay down to sleep. He had a dream in which he saw a stairway resting on the earth with its top reaching to heaven, and angels of God were ascending and descending. And I remember we considered that as Pastor Ambrose was preaching the other day. There above stood the Lord, and he said, I am the Lord, the God of your father Abraham and the God of Isaac. I will give you and your descendants the land on which you are lying. Your descendants will be like the dust of the earth, and you will spread out to the west and to the east and to the north and to the south. All the peoples on earth will be blessed through you and your offspring. God is rehearsing the covenant. Then he goes on to say, I am with you and will watch over you wherever you go, and I will bring you back to this land. Remember, he's meditating on what God has already said. He must have been aligning himself with his word while he was in Laban's place. And God says, I'll bring you back to this land. I will not, God says, I will not leave you. When Jacob awoke from his sleep, he thought, surely the Lord is, this is none other than the house of God. This is the gate of God. Early the next morning, Jacob took the stone he had placed under his head and set it up as a pillar and poured oil on it, on top of it. He called that place Bethel, though the city used to be called Luz. Then Jacob made a vow saying, and this is important, if God will be with me and watch over me on this journey I am taking, and give me food to eat and clothes to wear, so that I return, you see, so that I return safely to my father's household, then the Lord will be my God. And this stone that I have set up as a pillar will be God's house. And of all that you give me, I will give you a tenth. This is a gentleman who meditates on the word of God. And it's clear that God had told him, and he prayed, you will return. And so even as he is coming, and although he is even afraid, he is one who knows, has aligned his mind with the thinking of God. I want to say, when we adjust our thinking to kingdom thinking, or our thinking to the thinking of God, we shall do exploits. Reconciliation is possible for those who align their thinking with the thinking of God. But when you align your thinking with worldly thinking, then of course the culture teaches certain things about reconciliation, and you'll find yourself in a place of error where the truth does actually not lie. And so God is simply saying today, we need to spend time in the word of God. In the book of Romans 12 verse 2, the Bible says, don't be conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewal of your mind, that you may know what is the good, acceptable will of God. And so, someone like me, coming from the background of anger and resentment and bitterness, I spent time in the word of God, and then I determined to memorize scripture. And I got almost crazy about it. I remember the first 60 verses I memorized, and we used to call it the TMS Park. Pastor Ambrose, you remember? And we had these 12 verses, and they were designed around the cross. You know, we used to call it the disciples' cross. So the upper side of the cross, 12 verses. The lower side of the cross, 12 verses. This arm of the cross, 12 verses. And that arm of the cross, 12 verses. And then at the center, the circle at the center, 12 verses. And I had that TMS pack, 60 verses. And going up concerning prayer, scriptures on the word going down, scriptures on fellowship going this way, scriptures on evangelism on the other way, and then Christ the center, right at the center, and I had these verses. And everywhere I went, I was memorizing these scriptures. And I tell you, with time, my thinking started aligning with the thinking of God. And God made it clear that I needed to forgive my dad as the beginning of anything. And let me tell you, it's amazing when God renews your mind. Because some things you find so difficult to do, all of a sudden, they become easy. You know the passage that says, there's a guy who forgave another a lot of money, but that guy found somebody else who owed them something very little, and he decided he wants to take him to prison. And you know the one who was owed a lot was told the story by the servants, and he looked for this guy, and he made him pay and took him to prison. Sometimes we are forgiven so much, but we find it so difficult to forgive others, little. One time I was preaching somewhere, actually Brackenhurst, in Tigoni, Clark's Chapel, and I was talking about forgiveness. And I made an altar call for people to come, and many people came. Now, as I was praying, I got to a particular section, and the guy who was there said, actually, I've come in front because of you. So I am the one praying, but he's telling me, I have responded because of you. And so I quickly lean over and I listen. I hope nobody else is hearing. And he says, you offended me. That is why I have come in front. You offended me. Now, if you're in my shoes, what would you do? Yeah? You have to know the scriptures and know what the Lord is able to do in a moment like that. The whole thing of humility. And you know, the wisdom I got, I said we will see each other after this, and we saw each other. Now, this is a guy I knew. Actually, today he's a pastor. And he's a guy whose wedding I conducted. What happened is that I was late for his wedding, on his wedding day. I was late. And he kept that grudge with him. He carried it into that meeting. And even as I was preaching, he got his opportunity. And he came forward. And he said, I am here because of you. You have offended me. Now, you can go two paths and try to defend and go around in circles, or go the other path of, yes, I admit my mistake. Would you forgive me? And for a reverend like me, you can imagine the challenge right there. But I humbled myself, and I said, forgive me. And even go beyond that, would you pray for me? And then I knelt down, and he placed his hand on me, and he prayed for me, and I was released from the grip, you know, of that prison. He had put me in a prison that I even didn't know about. But by that prayer, I was actually released from it. And we are very good friends. The relationship is very good. Now, when we are aligned to the thinking of God, then you will look at your brother and your sister, and you'll hear God saying, I want you to forgive. The culture may say something else, your feelings may say something else, but you will hear God saying, I want you to forgive, and I want you to forgive right now. And forgiveness can take, like Jacob, coming from a very far off distance, coming all the way to find where Esau actually was. And so this is the second thing about this kind of thinking. It is aligned thinking. Empowered thinking, delivering kingdom results is aligned thinking. But finally, activated thinking. Activated thinking, transcending apathy. A lot of what has not been done has been because of indifference. And why our terrain is littered with unforgiveness and lack of reconciliation, why families are really struggling today, is because of procrastination and delay and apathy. God desires that reconciliation happens in the immediate. And you can see Jacob takes a whole journey to come. It couldn't happen in any other way. And in that home, reconciliation happens because Jacob takes a step. Somebody needs to take a step of faith and activate the process of reconciliation. I have just given you my example, finishing the story with my father, and I looked for a suit. When, you know, for the path of reconciliation on Luthuli Avenue, and because the size was more or less like mine, a shirt, shoes, complete. Then I looked for him. I found him where he was. And that day when I found him, he was in the sitting room. I came through the door, he was sitting. And you know, as I came in, I could see on his face, he was wondering, what is going to happen here? But as I was coming to him, I actually put the gift in front of me. And I said, Daddy, I brought this for you. And he received it. Then he rose up. And I tell you, for the first time, he said, you are my son. Because he used to say, I'm not his son. You are my son. And I love you. For the first time, I had those words from a father. And I know there are many young people. That's why my heart goes out to young people who have not known a father's love, or maybe even a mother's love. And for a first time, I heard that. And then he stretched his hand around me. I never had been hugged like that by a father. In fact, I was averse to hugs. And I shared in the first service that when we were in the other church, Ojija Road, Pastor Ambrose, that's why I was considered a very holy guy. And I was not Hagias. Because I did not come from a Hagias family. The issue was not holy. It was just that I did not grow up in an environment of hugs everywhere. I think now I've grown a little bit. But that time, I really kept to myself. And anybody trying to come to hug me, I kind of would go backwards. I really wasn't for those kind of hugs. And so my father kind of started a new season. He hugged me, my son, I love you. And from that day, a new relationship began with my father that also affected the rest of my family members. And there was a journey back. It was like Jacob's coming from everywhere. And the Lord was bringing us back as a family. And I had a chance again to pick my father and do a drive to Eldoret, to Luandeti with him. And he was my passenger. We had a good time, We spent a night there, enjoyed meals, and then came back. And I had a good time to spend with my father. And during that time, he was able to do a prayer and make a decision that turned his life around. And you know, hallelujah. When he passed on, and Pastor Ambrose came to bury him. You remember Pastor Ambrose? When I was standing at that grave, I felt like I said, thank you, Jesus, that God gave me a chance to reconcile with my father. And even as the body was going down into that grave, I just kept saying, Lord, thank you so much. You gave me an opportunity when my dad was still alive to do the reconciliation action. And that action affected everything else, including about my life. There was something new that was actually started. My prayer is this, is that there would be an activation thinking that goes beyond knowing reconciliation should happen and beginning to do something that is real and specific. And God works with such. And that is why you find so much favor when Jacob arrives in Genesis 33. All the fears sorted out. He's aligned to the mind of God. And now this is activation moment. God works in that kind of situation. Esau is no longer thinking about the difference with the brother. Esau comes running. And that's why he gave us the end picture, which is in verse 4. He comes running and he does a bear hug around his brother. He must have been a big guy. Remember, Esau was hairy. He was big and his hands had a lot of hair. That's the kind of guy he is. And so it's a bear hug around his brother. And then there is that kiss. And then they start crying. Two men, you can imagine. And they are surrounded by family and many other people around there. And these people are watching this picture where actually two that were averse to one another, separated, have now come together. Let me say this. I am seeing a picture of Genesis 33, verse 4. Give me on the screen. Genesis 33, verse 4. I'm seeing that picture replicated in our homes. I'm seeing it replicated in our offices. And everywhere we go. In fact, by this sermon, I am commissioning a season of reconciliation. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. May the Jacob Esau phenomena become a movement. So what we see in verse 4, but Esau ran to meet Jacob and embraced him. He threw his arms around his neck and kissed him, and they wept. This is the picture I am seeing. And therefore, may the spirit of separation break in Jesus' name. May the spirit of disagreements break in Jesus' name. May every heaviness of resentment and anger and bitterness be lifted, because God is showing me a picture that there's going to be bear hugs. There's going to be this kind of kiss. It's a reconciliation kiss. And there's going to be tears of joy. It's going to happen to so many families. And people will be brought together. Let me say, God is a gatherer, not a scatterer. If there's a word like that. And his business is to bring the nations to himself and the nations to one another. He is in the ministry of reconciliation. And this is the picture I see. May God lead Kenya on the path of healing and on the path of reconciliation. Our God is able, our God is in control, and God is able to bring a brother, a sister, and a sister. We are able to see on our streets people embracing one another and kissing one another. Not that other kiss. Whenever I use that word, it sounds funny. But yes, I'm talking about the kiss of reconciliation. And also tears of joy. May the tears of the joy of reconciliation flow. May the bear hugs begin. You know, I'm almost saying, turn to the person, but I don't want to do that. Turn to the person next to you and give them a bear hug. Yeah? You'll say, this pastor has run mad. What is he making us do in a church? But this is the prayer. And I know there's somebody listening to me, and it's been a journey for you. Maybe 5 years, 3 years, 10 years. For Jacob, it was a whole 20 years. He had never seen his brother. And there was this matter that was outstanding. But let me say, even that separation has a shelf life. God is able to collapse it. And God is able to turn things around from anger and bitterness and separation. And eventually you have this wonderful, wonderful picture that we are seeing now, even as I come to a close. And so God is in the business of reconciliation. 2 Corinthians 5 verse 18 says the following. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 18. We know verse 17 very well, which says, if anyone is in Christ, is a new creation. The old is gone. Behold, the new has come. Now it says, all this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and made us ministers of reconciliation. So the ball is in our court. Even as we come to a time of prayer, I believe that this kind of thinking is empowered thinking that takes you up from the place of running away, living a life restless and a life of struggle, and bringing you closer to your brother and even to that rostrum of victory and testimony of reconciliation. Your thinking will either lead you to a testimony and a breakthrough, or lead you the other direction. To disappointment and resentment and anger. But Jacob made a choice, and he said, I embrace the thinking that takes me back to my brother. And let me tell you, there is nothing better than reconciliation. That is what God is about. And so today he's saying, we are the ministers of reconciliation. And so I'll be praying in just a moment, and my prayer is that God raises Jacob's people who can take the mantle of reconciliation and provide leadership in the area of reconciliation. I know if I give a chance to all of us to give a story, I'm sure many have stories. I have my stories of how you took some initiative and the outcome of the same. God wants to see much more of that kind of story. Jacob meets Esau. Many of us are going to meet those people who have been so far from us, and God is going to grant the favor for you, breaking the fear, breaking the chains, and God is going to cause a reconciliation that is like the picture we just saw. Genesis 33 and verse 4. And so I would like for us to pray. Let's all stand up now and pray together. Let's pray. Almighty God, we thank you that we can celebrate a biblical story of reconciliation between Jacob and Esau, and that, Lord, we can bring it to the 21st century and bring that story to make it our own stories. My God, thank you for what I've released as a word, as I've raised an altar of reconciliation and also released a prophetic word, that I see a picture of bear hugs, reconciliation kisses, and tears of reconciliation happening in homes, happening in the marketplace, happening among the diaspora, people who are very far. Lord, that I can make that kind of prophetic word. And God, I pray that even as we leave this place from this altar, that God, we shall be like Jacob, and that by the thinking of Jacob that transcends fear, we shall be able to reach out to those who have offended us or we have offended. And God, we shall pursue the path of reconciliation. My God, I know it's a good thing to do because it brings healing. Where there is no reconciliation, there is restlessness. There is also all kinds of diseases. There is all kinds of violence. And it is impossible to prosper. It's impossible to be successful. But where there is reconciliation, there is prosperity and there is success. And so, Lord, thank you for what you are about to do. And I know your greatest works are in the realm of reconciliation. And therefore, God, give us this mindset that was in Jacob. So that as we live here, the neighbors will see. They'll even hear the shouts of victory and the joys that will be in our homes because of a son coming back, a daughter coming back, a mother coming back, a sister coming back. Just like in the prodigal son's story, where he came to his senses and he wore the mindset of reconciliation. And then he remembered his father and he went to his father. And the father saw him from far and the father came running and hugged him. And the father was so excited and he said, quick, quick, quick. The robe needs to be here. The ring needs to be here. The sandals need to be here. The fattened calf needs to be slaughtered because now I call a celebration. My son who was dead is alive. My son who was away has now come back. My God, I see that. And Lord, thank you because this is a work you will do and you're going to do in our homes. And therefore, once again, we come again as the spirit that separates people in the name of Jesus Christ. You spirit of strife, you spirit of dissension, you spirit of separation, we rebuke you and we ask you to leave in Jesus' name. Leave our homes, leave our workplaces, leave our roads, leave our city. Right now in our country, we say, leave Kenya. We don't need you here. And we invoke and invite the healing balm of reconciliation in our nation. And Father, we pray a replica of Genesis 33 verse 4 all over this nation, the north, the south, the east, and the west, and the center, and even the cities, and also the villages, everywhere in this nation. And God, therefore, thank you, because for this country, you have begun a new work. And for Africa, you have begun a new work. Now we can lift our hands to you, to God. My God, we just lift these hands because we are tapping, and it's an indication we are tapping, and we are ready to receive of your blessing. My God, as we put our hands before us or above us, my Lord, we know that you are now opening the storehouses and you are commissioning angels who are going to line up your provision, something special for us along the path of our lives. As we leave this place, some of us will be flying out of the country, wherever we shall be, those in the diaspora. My God, you are lining up something for somebody here, and not just one thing, but a series of things. And just like Pastor Ambrose shared, marching into our miracle, my God, we are moving from one miracle to another miracle to another miracle. And Lord, let those resources and those provisions be aligned in our paths. So the blessing of provision, I declare, is upon every one of us listening to my voice. God is saying, I'll supply every need of yours according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. But by God's provision and by divine action, doors are swinging open in front of you. Somebody trusting God for an open door, God has taken over. He is in control. Elevation and promotions from one level to another. Receive it in Jesus' name, because God is able to make it happen. He's able to make it happen. Thank you, my Father. Healing, a provision that is healing, a package. Healing of families, healing of emotions, healing of the mind, healing of the spirit, healing of the body, healing. My Father, I pray for special healing. Healing that brings peace that passes all understanding. And my God, I pray for provision that brings wisdom. And even where somebody is on the crossroads of life, suddenly they will know this is the way to go. Because God is here and God is acting. My Father, every blessing in the spiritual realm, I release it upon your people today. You tell us you'll open the heavens. You release your blessing. You bless the work of our hands. We shall lend to many nations and we shall borrow from none. And therefore I declare, Monday belongs to God. Monday is blessed. Tuesday belongs to God. Tuesday is blessed. Wednesday is blessed. Thursday is blessed. Friday is blessed. Saturday is blessed. Sunday is blessed. Next week belongs to God. Hallelujah. The whole week, we declare, belongs to God. And God has blessed a cover of blessing from Monday until Sunday. I decree and declare we shall see each other next Sunday. And we shall also share testimonies of the goodness of the Lord and of the victory of the Lord. And therefore, may God go before you. May God come behind you. May God lay his hand of blessing upon you. In the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, in the name of the Holy Spirit, and we all say, let's give a hand to Jesus. Glory to God. Glory to God. Amen. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever and ever and ever. Amen. And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us now and forevermore. Amen.